I don't very often do anything like this, because I don't think I'm very good at it. But I was reminded of something this morning as we pray, okay? So this is not just a bag, but it's life's burdens and worries, okay? You just need to know that. Did you get the message? There's so many of us sometimes just come to worship, burdened and weighed down by life. We come to a service like this. We put all the burdens down, then we almost pretend everything's fine. We worship, we praise. The service ends, and then we pick up all our burdens and worries, and we walk out with them again. Is that how it should be?
No.
Hello? Is that how it should be?
No!
No, exactly. We worship a Lord who loves us. We worship a Lord who is so interested in our lives. He has given himself for us in the greatest act of sacrifice and love and service ever. We worship a Lord who has given us the gift of his own Holy Spirit, so that when we come to know him and when we enter into relationship with him, that spirit of that Holy Spirit of Jesus is present with us to help us, to equip us, to make real the love of Jesus for us, and to make a difference in our lives. To be one who is alongside us in all that we face and walk through. And of course, he doesn't make it magically disappear, but he's there for us. He's here for us. And he wants us to know we're loved. And as we begin our service this morning, I just felt it appropriate to bring us that reminder. Can we be still and quiet for a moment or two? Some of you may know I've been sort of struggling a bit health-wise since the beginning of the year. Dry, tickly, cough, sinuses, sore throats, loss of voice, etc., etc. So you'll have to keep praying for me as we go through. Is that all right? I'd like to sort of talk to you a little bit this morning about ministering like Jesus. Ministering like Jesus. Remember those words of Jesus that we focused on a few weeks ago? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When I was able to share with you a few weeks ago, we looked at that passage together and focused on the fact that the gift of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in the New Covenant is to empower us to do those things, to minister like Jesus, to do the things that he did, to make him known. As Jesus put it in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there was a promise for what we should do. There's the assurance that that's what we're anointed for, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit helps us in that task. So I hope it will be helpful if I sort of just carry on a little bit today and look at the theme of ministering like Jesus in the light of those things. Now, obviously, this is a big topic. We could approach it in various ways. Having quoted the verses from Luke, we could look at what it means to proclaim good news. We could look at what it means to minister to the poor, to bring freedom to prisoners, to heal those who are physically, mentally, and spiritually oppressed. We could explore how we bring the Lord's favor to people. You might therefore be surprised at my starting point today, and actually what I want to stress in relation to ministering like Jesus. And it's this. The first thing that is so important, I think, in ministering like Jesus is to nurture and maintain a relationship with Him. To love Him. To love Him. Now, I'm sure you won't be too surprised, because most of you know, and indeed I hope that we would all know this, that this is the essence of the Christian faith. Still one misunderstood by so many. Being a Christian is not about being super knowledgeable or superior to anybody else. It's about relationship. It's about the fact, isn't it, that we've come to know and have relationship with the God who made the cosmos and loves us, loves me, loves you, undeservedly, totally, completely. As Paul put it, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace we've been saved, and God has raised us up with Christ. Hallelujah. We're a people of faith, trusting relationship with Jesus, who live out of a place of gratitude for the forgiveness, the deliverance, and new heavenly kingdom life that has been given, freely given to us. And our response is to live, to put it in a biblical phrase, for the praise of His glory. I love that phrase. Live for the praise of His glory, the praise of Jesus' glory. To personalize the prayer of Paul, we keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know Him better. We pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which He has called us, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. We give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Though we have not seen Him, we love Him. And even though we do not see Him now, we believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We love because He first loved us. Isn't that precious? And so to minister like Jesus is a response, a desire to reflect something of the love that we've come to know to a world that is fallen, divided, hurting, and I think personally pressing a self-destruct button. And although we are imperfect, though we face trouble and hardship and persecution and danger, we do it, we keep going, and we know that nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And loving Jesus and reflecting that love by way of response out to others can also be expressed, I think, by saying, live the life of a worshipper and grow as a worshipper. And we know that's important because Jesus stated it as God's purpose for those of us who desire to live in the way that he wants. Remember when he was asked by one of the teachers of the law, of all the commandments, in other words, of all the things we need to do that God wants us to do, what's the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with our all. All. Challenge for us, I know. Do we achieve it? Probably not, but it's his call on our lives. And here's the key to the life of a worshipper. It's surely also the key to ministering like Jesus. Love for God and for God's purposes. It was foundational to what Jesus came to do. In fact, we understand, as Christians, we understand Jesus to have come to us because God is love. And in love, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So as Jesus demonstrated God's love in service and sacrifice, we're called to do the same. Love for God is our priority. If we want to minister like Jesus, to love him is our priority. And then the example of Jesus shows us that the outflow of worship, is of course what he summarizes as the second commandment, the second essential of what God wants us to do in living for him. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the person who asked him the question about what was most important said, well said, teacher. You're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. In other words, as any other stuff, it's more important. And when Jesus saw he had answered wisely, interestingly enough, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He was getting it, as we need to get it. The outflow of our love for Jesus is a love which shows itself in putting God's purposes first in our lives and in loving our neighbor as ourselves. And incidentally, you might recall the other passage where that same lifestyle mandate is given. It's Luke 10, verses 25 to 37, where we get the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that passage, Jesus is asked, who is my neighbor? Just to clear up any doubts. And he says, you'll remember the person who is in need. The person who is in need. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that an aspect of that story that has become so very pertinent in our own social and current climate is that Jesus teaches that we are to love people of all backgrounds and all ethnicities. To love, so to minister like Jesus, we need to love him. We need to be worshippers, first and foremost. We can all do that if we can't do anything else. It's what matters to God. Let me take another sip of water. Now, I've actually been reading through John's Gospel over the last few weeks. And I've been really struck by the way that in John's Gospel, Jesus builds on the things we've already mentioned in other teaching that he gives. And, you know, perhaps not surprisingly, I came across the quote by sort of one scholar, it's not too much to say that Jesus' whole ethic in John is summed up in love. Love. And we were brought an example of that a few weeks ago when Andy Mitchell spoke. If you were here, he was speaking on John 13 and the foot washing. That act of humble, loving service that Jesus did for his own disciples. And he reminded us that that act of service should be replicated by all of us as a ministry to others in Jesus' name, in whatever way we can seek to do that. And in that same passage, on that same evening, before he was to face the cross, Jesus says, "A new command I give to you." Remember what it was? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Sounds like that was important to Jesus, doesn't it? And therefore important to us. So, little review. To minister like Jesus, it is important that we nurture and maintain our relationship with him. Then, as he did, we do our best to live as those who love God with their all and their neighbors as themselves, and whose love for one another shows that they are his disciples. And will you bear with me, and it won't be long, as I highlight some of the other things that Jesus links with love in the Gospel of John. Things that I think are practical and will help us achieve what he set out for us to do. And about which I'm not always sure we make the link. But if we do want to minister like Jesus, these things are crucial. Firstly, I believe there's a link between loving and serving Jesus and ministering like Jesus and the awareness of the Holy Spirit that he gives. As he speaks to his disciples, and if you've got a Bible, you might want to look this up. We're in John 14, verse 15. As he speaks to the disciples, he says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Now, bearing in mind, this is future tense stuff. So we're looking at Jesus who is risen and ascended and is now interceding on our behalf as we live for him. He'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Aren't they just beautiful and magnificent words? And the promise of Jesus, you know, we don't just believe in a figure that lived those years ago. He's alive, and by his Spirit, he comes to us. By his Spirit, we're born again. By his Spirit, he indwells inside us. By his Spirit, he comes alongside us. By his Spirit, he helps us. And there's this link between loving and serving Jesus and the awareness of the Holy Spirit. And that suggests to me that when we are loving others, in the way Jesus wants us to, when we're living out his command, his desire, and his wish, then we will find ourselves both receiving the empowering of the Holy Spirit for the task in hand and becoming more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Now, I think that's good news. I hope you do. We don't have to do anything by ourselves. As long as we're dependent on him, he will help us in the things that we're seeking to do for him through his Spirit. Wow. Another hallelujah. Then secondly, there's a link between loving and serving Jesus and revelation. Revelation in the sense of Jesus making himself known, per se, but also possibly revelation in Jesus making specifically known what we need to do for him in particular situations. Later in the passage, this is John 14:21, he says, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So in the act of loving service, there's that possibility, that hints at a connection between love and Jesus making himself known, revelation. And in the context of a passage that is talking about understanding who Jesus is and doing what he has been doing, I do understand that to mean that as we serve others, Jesus will show us what to do and connect us to the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we minister both naturally and supernaturally. I think that's good news too. And then thirdly, there's a link between loving and serving Jesus and peace. Again, in the same section of teaching, verse 27, as Jesus speaks of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit being sent, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And if I just can make a very practical application of that one, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm sort of ministering to people and I'm just so wanting to see sort of Jesus break in and break through in their lives, you know, one of the dangers of that is that you sort of get sort of all anxious about it, don't you? You know, come on, Lord, break through! And you know, I'm going to be a bit naughty here, but there are sort of some streams of the church that, you know, kind of find the answer to that by shouting at people. know, the Lord is here! He will break into your life! You know, well, it doesn't work by shouting, does it? And if we get to the point where we're uncertain and anxious, then what's right to do is to step away and say, "Lord, I'm not in a place of your peace at the moment. And you're going to work when I'm just fully in connection with you. So I'm going to step back and say, Lord, give me your peace. And then I'll proceed and go forward, if it is right. Or I'll just leave it." Some people don't like that, but whose work is it? It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. So step back if you get anxious and overwrought. A connection between loving and serving and ministering like Jesus and peace. Fourthly, and this is the penultimate one, there's a link between loving and serving Jesus and fruitfulness. As we move into the next chapter of John, chapter 15, there is a connection quite clearly made between love, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and fruitfulness. "I am the vine, you are the branches." You know that chapter? And he specifically says, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." John 15, verse 5. What does that say? Keep the connection. Make sure whatever we're doing in his strength, not ours. And being fruitful seems to me from the scripture to be about the way I change because of knowing and following Jesus, something that Paul understood, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are they the fruits that are growing in my life? Because they're the fruits of Christ-like character. So there's that fruitfulness, and also there's the fruitfulness of being the one who leads others to Jesus and helps them grow and be fruitful in Jesus. So a link between loving and serving and ministering Jesus and fruitfulness. And then the final one is a link between loving and serving and ministering like Jesus and the Holy Spirit's gifts. And you'll probably know this, but there's a connection between loving him and serving him and what I like to call the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit, rather than the spiritual gifts, the grace gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. They're marvelous gifts to be used in the service of Jesus. But we must never forget that their purpose is to make known the love of Jesus. Hence Paul's stress on love in the chapter that follows where the grace gifts are mentioned, 1 Corinthians 13. And the concluding statement, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. 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 So for all I've said today, folks, as I suppose a conclusion can be briefly stated. If we want to minister like Jesus, then we need to love God and love others like he did. But I hope reviewing it in the way that I reviewed it is helpful. Should we pray? And let me just pray for us all with the words of Paul from Ephesians 3:16, where Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that as we are being rooted and established in love, we may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, I wonder what that looks like. But amen. And amen. And amen.